why is now the right, I mean, you talked about Paul being the right guy. Why now for the extension?
Well, it's something that I think that, again, making announcements and stuff like that, I don't know if there's ever any perfect timing. You know, we found some time, gave him a couple of days to kind of decompress during the break there, and we had a chance to sit down and conclude a conversation that we really started, you know, back in the summertime, and obviously came to the results and find a time to squeeze in the announcement somewhere.
Paul talked a lot about evolution. I mean, how do you see him evolving as a coach, and why does he continue to be the fit going forward for this organization?
So some of our conversations, I guess it goes back to a little bit maybe where things were at in the summertime there. You know, obviously after we decompressed and talked about all the different situations that we went through, you know, last year with respect to the group, and it goes back to even almost 2 years ago, you know, the decisions that we made two summers ago really, you know, lead up to where we're at, you know, here today. Not only from a coaching perspective, but from a roster perspective, because we were faced with some decisions to make at that summer to whether we were going to continue with the roster that we had, knowing that there was going to be some contract challenges with respect to the salary cap, that there was going to be some player personnel decisions, you know, based on some of the knowledge that I did have with respect to where different players' minds were at with respect to the future and wanting to be part of this organization in the future. So we made a conscious decision at that point in time to continue with that roster and try and keep as many pieces as we could together from that group that went to the conference finals. So that, led to last year. And then obviously the conversations, quickly turned in the summertime to the challenges that we were going to face with respect to some of the roster turnover because of those decisions 2 years ago. And so it was really it's a constant conversation that Paul and I have had, and just, his approach and, his understanding and his willingness, to appreciate the different steps that have gone along the way. So certainly that, that factors into it. Some of the things that a lot of you don't get to see is the preparation side of the game, how, even from how Paul and his staff prepared from when they first came in here to how they prepare now. Obviously, we live in a much more open world when it comes to analytics and the different situations that coaches are faced with on a nightly basis. And to see his approach, to see how he embraces different things, his openness to continue to try to evolve, to try to learn, to try to become a better coach and a better person, and all along maintaining some of his best traits as far as communication and a willingness to understand that players have opinions, players have feelings, players understand that they want to be a part of the game. So it's a combination of a lot of things that and an evolution of a good coach that is staying true to his roots, but evolving with things over time as well.
You would have seen it in Chicago with Joel Quenneville. How important is the continuity of a head coach? It seems so rare these days.
Well, again, I think every situation, every relationship, is unique. Joel is someone that obviously has had great success over his tenure, but you do see a lot of, similarities in how they treat players, but also how players treat them. And it is a two-way street when it comes to that, because communication, honesty, straightforwardness, bluntness is something that I think players welcome, and when they have that, I think that they can thrive.
It's been some trying times, obviously, this year with how the summer went, with all the injuries that have happened. What has stood out to you from Paul this year that maybe you didn't in years where maybe this wasn't such a
So, obviously we knew that there was going to be roster turnover, so we all prepared for that in some respects, just based on the different decisions that, we knew we had to make. Obviously, so we discussed on the importance of getting things going in training camp, in the proper fashion. Obviously, you don't know how the contract situations play themselves out from a timing perspective, but again, the ability to sit down with him and discuss and have him understand and have him have maybe an antidote or an experience or that understanding of what he's gone through in the past and how this situation was handled back when he was doing it back when type thing and learning from that, I think really helped in training camp this year to get the group to understand that we have had some changes. We're going to have to do things a little differently. We might look a little different. We might not be pretty, on some nights, but again, we're going to have to evolve to find a way to be successful. And this was even before, obviously, we had the Bufflin situation, which, again, they just took in stride, and that group of players in there, I think, have taken in stride, you really just focus on the group there and what's in front of you on that daily basis. So, we've talked about it a lot of times about staying in the fight, and certainly that has been a mantra that the guys and I think the coaching staff on a daily basis remind themselves that we need to stay in the fight here.
You mentioned each season kind of has its own context depending on the roster or injuries and things like that. A great goaltending performance can improve standings. A lot of injuries can hurt them. I'm wondering, given that each season is different, what goes into the evaluation of a coach's performance? How do you suss out how effective he is from everything else?
Well, I think a lot of the things that I have talked about, already, you can look at pure numbers, and if you want to make, your judgments on pure numbers, sometimes those can sway you one way or another. I don't think that in situations like this, it can be just a pure numbers, type of decision. I think, there has to be a lot of feel because you are dealing with individual players. You're dealing with, a position that is tasked with taking a collective group of players and making them better as a group, but also helping them grow as individuals. And I think that's the coach's, basically the coach's job. That's what it is. Everyone wants to say, well, it's the power play, it's the penalty kill, it's the goals against, it's the high percentage chances. Yeah, those are all statistics that are a byproduct of what's going on. But at the end of the day, what a coach's main job is to do is to assemble that group that's in front of them, assess it, and try to deploy it as best as you possibly can. Again, not only for the group, but to help individuals grow as well. So yeah, every year is unique. Every day is unique, really, when it comes to situations that we've had to deal with. Lots of different teams will have different situations similar, but every time you're dealing with your own, it affects you, more so than what else is going on around you. And it's that ability, I think, that the coaching staff has shown that they're able and certainly willing and embracing each and every day to help this group get better and help each individual get better along the way.
A little bit earlier, you gave the example of how people treat each other as one indicator of things. I'm wondering, in terms of, you mentioned how players treat the coach as a good indicator. Would you be able to share an example or sort of something that would illuminate that a little bit too?
Well, I think, again, it's human interaction. I think you can kind of tell when people tolerate each other or when people truly embrace each other, and again, I'm around the team enough to take a look and assess those kind of things. It's individual assessments at the end of the season when we have one-on-one meetings with every player. Paul and I do them separately, so I have candid conversations with players at that point in time as well. So the decisions, again, aren't made in a vacuum. They're made with basically a lot of information that you sometimes park and gather from the past, and obviously sometimes it's stuff that's right in front of you in the future, here, and then where things might be going in the future as well.
Is your contract and Paul's up at the same time?
I'm not going to, get into any discussions, with respect to, terms, but no.
One other thing, is yours longer, I
Nah, I'm not going to get into that.
Some teams, when they're going through bad stretches, there's a need to, you know, shake things up. Has that ever, you know, crossed your mind during his tenure?
You know, as far as shake things up, I think, you know, you're constantly evaluating the roster. You're constantly, you know, looking at the realities of the situation that's in front of you. And I think you have to have, you know, you have to be realistic about some things. This isn't an industry that, you know, really gets fixed by knee-jerk reactions or by, you know, just, you know, appeasing the moment and saying, you know what, let's just do this. Because again, I think you really pay the price. You might get some, I guess, maybe instant relief or instant gratification from different areas, but I really do believe when you make a knee-jerk reaction, you really open yourself up to you know, long-term problems. So again, there's constant evaluation. It's not like it's you know, decisions that are made lightly, but you know, in the same token, I'm not a big believer, never have, of just making changes for the sake of making changes. You know, and again, it is a two-way street. You know, when I sat down with Paul and we talk about you know, the team and the direction, he's a good coach. Whether he's going to coach here or whether he's going to coach, you know, some other place, I don't think that was ever going to be a question. Paul Maurice will coach, you know, for quite a lot longer in this league, whether it's, you know, coached out here, you know, through the rest of his career, or he decides to move on. You want someone that does believe in what you have here too. You know, you need someone that understands, you know, what situations might be going through. And over the course of the years that Paul has been here, you know, that I think is where our relationship, you know, really has formed. Because again, there's limitations that I can do, you know, as a manager. There's limitations. There's time constraints. There's all these different things with the development of a player, and you have to have a coach that is, you know, understanding of that and willing, you know, to be able to, you know, to help that process and grow that process along the way. So again, playing young players, embracing young players, embracing some changes that we had to make and that we may have to make in the future as well. Those are things that are qualities that, you know, factored into my decision to continue and extend Paul as well.
You kind of mentioned this, Kevin, about, you know, gauging the room, and you talked to your players at the end of the season. But Mark, one of your assistant captains has said that it was news to him when the word came down yesterday. So there was no sort of, you didn't speak to the leadership group lately about this, or was this sort of, getting the temperature of the room was done in the summer? Or?
Well, yeah, again, I never asked the players, you know, should I give someone an extension or not? So, you know, certainly, you know, again, players, you know, again, are players that they have a job to do, and the discussions that I would have had, you know, again, would have taken place individually with the players, more so in their exit meetings than individually right now.
Just a couple of more assistant coaches. Do they get? How does that?
Yeah, I haven't had any discussions with any assistant coaches at this point yet. It's something that I talked with Paul, and we'll continue to discuss. You know, until the Bufflin situation is resolved one way or another, there's really not much that I can get into right now. I will get into it when, if and when, you know, there is some resolution to it. You know, it's obviously reports are reports, and I'll deal with the facts when, you know, when the facts present themselves.
Are you guys working towards a resolution at the moment?
Well, I've been thinking about the Dustin Bufflin situation since the night before training camp. So, yeah, I'm working on it every day.
Kevin, years past, when you're at the top or near the top of the division, I mean, does your approach to the deadline change given that you're in a wild card fight? Or how would, I know you can't tell us who you're looking for or what you're looking for, but I mean, how does the approach change?
Well, the approach really begins and essentially ends with, you know, is there a right fit out there? Is there something that makes sense, you know, that we have the ability to do? That we have the wherewithal to do, that makes sense, you know, in fitting in the lineup and actually helping us and move the needle. So, you know, that's the approach, whether you're in first place or, you know, in a situation where you're 1 point, you know, out the equation right now. So that's the evaluation process that starts. You have obviously the conversations with different teams, and you try to put yourself in a situation where you're in those conversations to know what the asking prices may be if there are the fits out there. That's a difficult thing because it changes really for a lot of teams daily, based on injury, based on their injuries, based on their positions. Teams that may not be sellers might become sellers. Every situation is different, so you're trying to prepare for all those things. But again, there has to be that right fit out there, and you can't just try to shoehorn something in. And over the last couple of years, we found some big moves that we felt could help us move the needle. We had to make some quick moves when we had some injuries, obviously, to Josh last year, the night before night before the trade deadline. So again, you're constantly evaluating what is out there, what the asking prices are, and do you have the assets to do it. But it starts with, are there pieces out there that actually make sense for you?
Shifting gears a bit, as a guy who had traded for Jay Bouwmeester in the past when you were in Chicago, what was it like for you to see what he went through?
Yeah, it was tough. Jay's just a quality person. Obviously he's been in the league for such a long period of time. I sent a text to Doug Armstrong, right after I saw it happen on the news, and received the text back the next morning there, which I was very appreciative of. But I think it just shows, the human side of this game that, these are highly, finely tuned athletes, but, there's always the but, there's, when you see something like that, your thoughts go far away from the playing side of the game, and just, more so to the individual. So, I know what you guys know, just, from the media updates and but obviously from, it hits home because all these players, whether it was a Fisher situation or the Pevlier situation, we've all kind of been through it. And to have even players on your own, team that are going through injuries and stuff like that, it really makes you take a step back and just understand the human side of the game.